Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead, inside the Business Radio X studios. Welcome to Georgia Business Radio. It's another fantastic Friday here at the Buckhead Business Radio X studios. I'm your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and joining me is producer-engineer Mr. Rich Casanova. How are you doing today, Rich?
Mr. Wow. You know, in trouble now? What just happened? Yeah.
Well, you've been promoted.
Okay, nice. Yeah, Georgia Business Radio. It's that time of the week, and exciting show, right?
Absolutely exciting. We are going to have the cannabis conversation today, talking about medical marijuana, talking about Georgia, and how we can become pioneers in this movement that's taking place around the country.
There's been lots of conversation and talk on social media about this show. It's very unique. We've done a lot of shows, but this will stand out, absolutely.
I think so, too, because there's a lot for us to learn personally, as well as our listeners, but we also want to dive into the business side of things.
Absolutely.
We are business radio, so we want to figure out, you know, how are they making money? How are they serving their market and their community? But also, how are they promoting their services?
Well, just like any other widget, right? What's your business model? How do you propose to bring it to the marketplace? Who are your consumers? How does it benefit those folks, right? And then finally, the legal aspect, which most businesses have to deal with, whether it's technology or financial widgets or, you know, if you're manufacturing a product. So let's dive into it.
All right. Sounds good. So first, like to introduce our guests here. Right off the bat, we're going to talk to Daniel Makaris, CEO of Halcyon Organics. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us just a little briefly about Halcyon Organics and what you're doing over there.
Well, we develop, manufacture, and distribute high-quality lab-tested cannabis-based nutraceuticals and food products. We incorporated and legally began operating in 2012, and Joe and I have been in the industry for almost 20 years. So,
okay. And you are Georgia's first producer, cultivator, and educator of medical marijuana products, right?
Yes. And we don't cultivate in Georgia ever.
Okay. Still illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Very illegal.
That's a yes.
Yeah. We do our cultivation is in California where we're licensed under Prop 215 and SB 420 where we're breeding up high cannabidiol and cannabichromene strains.
Okay. Very interesting. Certainly look forward to talking to you more about that here in just a moment. But let's also introduce to the show today, Terry Hester. She's Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Vice President for Hempfully Green. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. And thank you for having us on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I know we've been looking forward to this all week, and certainly our listeners are too. So Hempfully Green, what are you guys doing to change the world?
Well, Hempfully Green is located in Vermont. It is legal to grow hemp there. And what we are focusing on at the moment is establishing Hempfully Green communities.
Okay. And so you're bringing that community here to Georgia, I suppose.
That is the idea.
Okay.
Is to bring what we are doing to Vermont here to Georgia. Of course, when the legalities are in place, but we are positioning for that to happen.
Well, excellent. And we are looking forward to hearing more about that and how we here at Georgia Business Radio and Business Radio X Network can help you further your mission of changing the world. So please stick with us as we get into our first in-depth interview. We're going to be talking with Crystal Sanders. She's president and founder of Agents Alliance LLC and has over 18 years of experience in the financial services industry. As an insurance advisor who works regularly with individuals and small business owners, she specializes in insurance planning and financial education for women business owners. Her primary focus is on long-term, prudent accumulation and preservation of wealth for her clients. She works with business owners that have serious interest in accumulation and presence. I think I just said that, reading it twice there. Sorry about that. Before founding Agents Alliance, she held positions of VP at Popular Community Bank and financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. And prior to Georgia joining Morgan Stanley, she originated loans for both commercial and residential real property and luxury yachts. So welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, very good. And let's talk a little more about your background. You weren't always involved in the hemp industry or medical marijuana industry. So the insurance industry, what else did you do in a previous life?
Actually, in a previous life, I've done quite a few things. My background is heavily weighted in investments and financial planning. So ideally, that is what I have done primarily prior to getting into the industry. For me, switching over to cannabis was really just a no-brainer in terms of insurance planning, similar to insuring a car, a home, your life, your health, you do the same thing as relates to the cannabis product. So it was a very seamless process for me.
And when did that process take place? Or when did you make that jump into the cannabis industry?
I actually jumped in head first about a year and a half ago. I had attended a national conference and, well, actually, let me back up. I'm originally from California.
Okay.
So being from California, the space, or I should say the cannabis space, is much more wide open than it is here in Georgia. So going to the West Coast, I had attended a conference at the request of a friend, and they said, Crystal, this is something that you should do. This industry is definitely missing insurance. A lot of times people don't really know what type of insurance they need to get. They don't know if they actually need insurance, what it means. So I said, okay, well, let me go ahead and attend a conference to see what it really is about. And that happened about a year and a half ago. So I said, okay, this is definitely something that I need to do to be able to assist a lot of cannabis professionals. So that's actually how it started.
And that's interesting because people don't assume that they need insurance to kind of underwrite their cannabis industry.
Correct.
And so what does the type of insurance do they need?
Well, typically, as it relates to the cannabis professional, similar to any other professional or business owner, you are going to have questions surrounding insurance. You're going to have questions surrounding risk management. A lot of times people, unfortunately, when they look at cannabis, they think of hippies, stoners, tie-dye t-shirts, so on and so forth, and they don't really look at the professional aspect of it. Conversely, when you look at cannabis professionals, a lot of times they're so engrossed in making their product, i.e. infused products, growing, cultivating, that that aspect of it tends to get missed, and they don't really know how to open the dialogue as it relates to that. So what I actually do is sit down with a lot of those cannabis professionals and say, hey, what you're doing is awesome. I want you to continue to do that, but delegate that to me so that I can make sure that in the process of building your brand, doing your business, that I'm on the back end making sure that we're minimizing your risks in all areas as possible.
Oh, that makes sense. It just as any business owner may be so involved at running their business,
correct,
they don't look outside and say, well, what do I need to protect my business?
Correct.
And you can certainly look at that, particularly the cannabis industry,
yes,
and have experience in providing those services to those people who are out there in the cannabis industry. So,
yes.
And you're right, back to your point about a lot of people may think the general public that it's a bunch of hippies trying to legitimize their lifestyle.
Correct.
Where I find it's a little other way around, where it's like PhDs and doctors and chemical engineers,
yes,
who are bringing it to the marketplace.
Correct.
And who bring that professional aspect to everything,
yes,
to actually give some legitimacy to it.
Correct.
Is that what you find?
I find that as well. And I think that the impression that people have of insurance agents is a little antiquated. A lot of times you have people who think that you're still those people who are going around the neighborhood and knocking on doors, right, saying, hey, do you need a life insurance policy? Fortunately, the insurance industry has evolved. As it relates specifically to cannabis, there are so many different kinds of policies and so many different ways that you can actually insure your business. You have general liability insurance. You have crop insurance. You have product liability insurance. And some of the same things that other businesses face, we insure those as well, such as fire, theft, damage, directors, and other kinds of insurance. So if you have employees who may potentially, unfortunately, there could be a theft issue internally. So a lot of those different kinds of risks need to be insured. And a lot of times as a business owner, when you're growing and doing kinds of things, making infused products, you just don't think about that.
No, you don't. And are you just providing the service for folks here in Georgia, or are you all over the country?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because as it relates specifically to Georgia, I want to be tactful in how I say it. I think the cannabis laws in Georgia are evolving. I like where we're going. But at this time, a lot of my clients tend to be on the West Coast and most of, in more of those states where it's actually legal.
Right.
We do have some laws on the books, but we are looking forward to getting those laws expanded so that the business owners can continue to do what they do, and I can collaborate with them to be able to help them minimizing their risk on the insurance side.
And as far as you know, are there any other insurance companies out there underwriting the cannabis industry?
On the West Coast, there are.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the East Coast.
Okay.
I think that they're really just kind of gearing up and preparing for different states to come live as it relates to expanding their laws. And I think as those laws start to grow and expand, then we'll start to see more insurance companies come on board.
Right. And here at Business Radio X and Georgia Business Radio, we see all the time that competition is good for business.
It is.
And so that's okay that there's other people providing those services. But what,
yes,
sets you apart at Agents Alliance LLC in providing those services from your competition?
I think for me, it's very unique in that I tend to be very women focused. I think in the industry, there tends to, and again, I want to be tactful. I do love male owned businesses, but I think similar to corporate America, there tends to be an overabundance of men in the industry. But I also see that with what the industry can provide, there is a large space and a large opportunity for women business owners. And I think that for me, focusing on women businesses, because there are a lot of unique aspects and attributes as it relates to women business owners, I think that is one thing that will definitely set me apart head and shoulders of a lot of other insurance companies.
Oh, very nice. We're talking with Crystal Sanders. She's president and insurance advisor at Agents Alliance LLC. But you're also involved with another organization, Women Grow.
Yes.
Speaking of women, tell us about that, please.
Yes. I actually got approached about a year ago by a group of women who initially were thinking about starting something like this because they were stating that, okay, hey, let's look back. We don't want the cannabis industry or the cannabis space to be similar to corporate America. And obviously corporate America is evolving. Just want to put that out there. And we were seeing that there really wasn't a space for women. And you had a group of women who got together and said, hey, you know, how can we carve out a space for us? How can we really have a seat at the table? So you had a couple of women, roughly about 50 women, and they had that dialogue. All of them obviously are on the West Coast. They were cannabis owners. They put up funds and created what's called Women Grow. And Women Grow is really about cultivating, sorry, cannabis faux pas there.
Right.
It's really about connecting, educating, and empowering women who want to get into the cannabis industry at all levels. So they were looking to get into the southern states and eastern states, and they had been trying to get in Georgia for about 2 years. But with the restricted laws in the state or on the East Coast and in the South Coast, obviously there were some challenges there. As it relates to specifically Georgia, we were hearing conversations about Georgia being able to expand some of its laws here. And we said, okay, you know, this would be an awesome time to actually have a chapter here in the state of Georgia. So they said, hey, Crystal, you've already been doing insurance. You know, you already focus on a lot of women business owners. You have a lot of connections in the state of Georgia. So it would be fitting if you wouldn't mind heading up our chapter there. So that's actually how it started.
Mm-hmm.
We actually started here in the state of Georgia on May 7th. That was our initial launch.
Okay.
Shortly after Nathan Deal had finally put some books on the laws here in the state of Georgia. And we've gotten some wonderful, wonderful feedback. We've gotten great support, not just from women business owners, but male business owners as well. It's been very interesting for me to see how hungry people are for knowledge, for education, for being able to network with other kinds of people, for information, guidance as it relates to starting a business, how can they invest in the business, any type of funding opportunities, and just really overall informing themselves in the right way as it relates to the cannabis space.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that information. I see it was founded in Denver in 2014
yes.
and already has a Georgia chapter as of May this year.
Yes.
But what can we do here at Georgia Business Radio or Business Radio X Network to help you in your mission there at Women Grow?
Well, one of the major things I would love is to be able to have a platform for us to advertise a lot of our networking events. We do have them every month. Next month, we will be having our networking event on September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
That will be at Front Page News, the one specifically in on Moreland Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We typically have guest speakers who come and impart their knowledge. And Joe, as well as Daniel, as well as Terry, have had an opportunity to come to some of our networking events as well. We've been able to get some additional media coverage, not just with radio, but also with print. So we do see the need. We are starting to gather a large following, but just being able to uplift and let people know that there is a space, there is a platform, there is a place where people can actually come and gain knowledge and gain information they can actually then translate into actionable things.
That sounds great. And we may be able to help you there. We, like I said, we do a lot of audio. We do on-site interviews. We come out and cover networking events
yes.
and actually help generate more of a lively feel. Instead of
we
in the studio, we
that.
Do on-site right there helping people and really just helping you get the word out about
wonderful.
Your mission. organization and your success there at Women Grow. And so how do you see your role evolving with Women Grow and also with your Agents Alliance and representing the cannabis industry?
Well, as it relates to Women Grow and specifically here in the state of Georgia, my goals are twofold. I definitely think that here in the South, sometimes we tend to get a bad rep. And sometimes we get coded as country bumpkins or not being as evolved as northern states or out west. And one of my things is to be able to showcase Atlanta and Georgia in a professional light and be able to show the rest of the country that we are on par with everyone else. We are just as professional as everyone else. What I actually see going forward is being able to create more opportunities in terms of programs, educational events, educational associations where people can actually come either through Women Grow or come through Agents Alliance and be able to have some type of educational track, either individually if you're just interested in wanting to know more about the cannabis space, but not necessarily getting into it from a professional standpoint, but also having some type of professional track where people who are interested in pursuing a career or profession in the cannabis space, being able to have that platform and resources for people to come and obtain that information.
Well, I have no doubt you will achieve that success. I mean, you certainly are very personable, you're knowledgeable, and you're probably an inspiration to lots of women out there who want to get into this industry. So thank you for sharing your story. Can you please tell our listeners how they can get more information about you, Women Grow, Agents Alliance, or any of that?
All right. Well, you can get in touch with me through www.420covered.com. That's my website. You can also reach me by phone at 404-987-0708. And as it relates to Women Grow, I invite every woman and men as well to visit womengrow.com. A lot of information, lot of opportunity to grow. So just really would like to engage the community and really have people to come to our educational events, come to our networking events, and really see what we're about and how we're actually growing the community and advocating for expansive laws here in the state of Georgia.
And they can get a calendar of those events, those networking opportunities on your website.
Yes, they can.
And yeah, there's probably lots of women out there. So if you are a guy and you want to get involved, you know, it would be a great place to go and meet people, right?
Yeah, yes, it's awesome. It's wonderful.
It's an excellent event.
Sign me up for next month for sure. Sounds
come
great.
On, girls.
Thank you very much for joining us. Please stick around as we now turn our attention to Terry Hester. She is Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Vice President for Hempfully Green, Inc. She grew up in Brooklyn, North Carolina, was raised on a Brooklyn, New York, raised on a farm in North Carolina during her summers and spent 30 years in Houston, Texas, and recently relocated to Georgia just last month. So welcome to the show, Terry Hester.
Thank you again for having me on the show, along with the other co-workers.
It's our pleasure. So you just moved to Georgia?
Yes, I did.
What brought you here?
Well, actually, I was here a few years ago working on another community project in College Park, and the opportunities here is very inviting, and it was just time for a change.
And so you've moved to Atlanta, and you've I'm looking at your bio here, and you've done some wonderful things in the past. I just wanted to highlight for a moment how you were the National Global Community Coordinator in 2010 and listed on record at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C. for developing and proposing plans for the city of Atlanta College Park to obtain the NASA Space Shuttle Atlantis for the building of the International Peace Museum. That's awesome.
Yes. Actually, my background is one of a chief coordinator and have many years of experience of coordinating people, places, and things.
Okay.
Bringing things that are not here yet into fruition.
But you're bringing a space shuttle here, or you did.
That was the intention. Okay. We did not get the space shuttle, as you will, all aware of that. But being exposed to that atmosphere and what I had to do to work with some great people, it was great and a great experience. And through that experience, I saw a lot of opportunities here in Georgia, and therefore I wanted to relocate back here.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities for businesses here in the Atlanta area, as well as Georgia, recently ranked number one for business across the country. So we see it all the time here in the studio of new businesses coming here and other existing businesses here in Georgia taking it to the next level with all the opportunities we have available.
The thing that excited me the most is getting the opportunity to work with State Representative Stephanie Stuckley Benefield, who I just found out last month is now the Sustainability Director for the state for the City of Atlanta. Mm. And I had an opportunity to speak with her as it relates to the hemp and its progression here. And she's very open to having that kind of conversation.
Yeah, let's talk about hemp for a moment. Tell me the difference between hemp and marijuana.
Well, for one thing, hemp is a product that grows about 15 feet tall.
Okay.
Okay. And it has about 250 plants per square inch. They grow very close together.
Okay.
And that's the hemp fiber.
The hemp fiber, right, which
yes.
They've been using in this country for generations.
Oh, with 12,000 years.
Well, yeah, the history of the world. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
And the hemp seeds, it grows a little shorter, about 8 to 10 feet, mm-hmm. and that's the seed itself. But both of these have both male and female plants, and they grow together. The marijuana is specialized in the greater concentration of the THC.
Okay.
Okay, and the hemp only have traces.
Right,
of
so
that.
The marijuana is more used in the medical side of things, where the hemp is more used in the industrial side.
Correct. The hemp has about 3% as opposed to 22.23% in marijuana.
Okay. And why do you think those in Washington or the state level here in Georgia are not adopting this as an economic game changer? You know, it could really put Georgia on the map as an industrial hemp producer.
Well, I'm going to quote something that James Bell, who I just recently met, and he's with a Georgia Care project, and he stated that agriculture here in Georgia is one of the largest, it has one of the largest industry here. Mm-hmm. And hemp has the potential of becoming Georgia's most versatile and lucrative crop. We should not be the last state to get on board with hemp, because hemp farming will create the jobs, new industries, and it is an eco-friendly commodity. Hemp could be a $1 billion industry.
So what's the hesitation here? Is it because it's kind of in the wheelhouse there of the marijuana, so people have these negative ideas about it? I mean, it sounds like it could really be an economic game changer.
Yes, and it has been. It has many, a lot of history mm-hmm. saying that it is. I believe that one of the reasons is, number one, it has been demonized mm-hmm. along with the marijuana and the cannabis many years ago, and that stigma is still associated
with it. Hard to shake
it now.
Right.
Yes. But fortunately, it is being very progressive, because as marijuana becomes legal, hemp is already there by default.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I've heard here in Georgia, we have a great climate for growing hemp, that it can be grown almost year-round here, and we can produce some of the most healthiest crops if we were to begin to plant it for our agriculture here. So let's talk about Hempfully Green, Inc. So what are you doing specifically for the company?
Well, you know, it's very interesting about Hempfully Green. I became, I put my foot into the whole industry last year. I am a holistic person.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been holistic for many, many years, but my focus in hemp in the cannabis business came from my knowledge of its usefulness.
Yes.
And also, when we're talking about economic development, that's one of the primary things as far as hemp is concerned, that we could do so much with that. As far as Hempfully Green is concerned, I got in touch with them because actually the CEO was running for governor for the state of Vermont.
Okay.
And one of her other desires was to continue her progression into the hemp. Actually, she grows hemp. They grow hemp.
The governor of
yes.
Vermont.
Well, the candidate.
The candidate. Oh, she never got elected. Okay.
No,
she should have been.
Yes. But the eco community is what she's envisioning for Hempfully Green, and that is essentially a campus sanctuary. It's like a small village that work cooperatively.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's like our suburbs, they are communities, but they're not cooperatives.
I see.
So a farm needs to be purchased, and she's looking for probably 150, 250, 800 acres or larger that a number of families can live. The young people have like 2 to 3 acres to themselves, and they would be interested in growing the food that is not poisoned, mm-hmm. number one, on a local scale there, and also making certain items. One of the things, for instance, like say they want to make a guitar,
mm-hmm.
in this eco community.
Okay.
So if, for instance, you get a guitar from your neighbor, well, that guitar, it was made just for you, specifically. All right? And it wouldn't fall apart the next year. It'd be something that you would treasure.
You're right.
And let's say you got some strawberries from another neighbor. Well, you wouldn't have to worry about the pesticides because it wouldn't be any that's there. So with all the amount of items that the people in the eco community can create, it will add a level of economic freedom through a mutual credit system, which lifts us out of that dollar cash shortage crisis that we're in. And one of the things that they're focusing on is Hemp Creek, building with hemp.
Yes.
And that's just a mixture of hemp and the lime created together, a mixture around a wood or something, or brick, and it forms hemp houses.
For the walls, the roof, the foundation, all of that can be, hemp can be incorporated into those building materials.
Yes. And it is breathable. One of the reasons that if everybody knows there's been a great upsurge of asthma in children, ADHD, attention deficit disorder.
Yes.
Okay, all this can be related back to our buildings, actually, and what the workers are being exposed to, the formaldehyde that's in the buildings and the walls. Building with hempcrete will eliminate all of that. Our focus is also on some of the U.S. vets. It has been shown that once they work in horticulture, it relieves a lot of the mental stress.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Mother Nature.
Oh, right, right. Getting back to basics, getting back to those products that can help us not only cure what ails us, but actually prevent certain other diseases or ailments coming up, coming on. So
exactly.
It makes sense.
And, Ryan, they also have identified over 50,000 uses of hemp.
Very good. And you can also find you on Twitter and Facebook and all those other social media outlets.
Yes. www.facebook.com, Hemphley Green, number 2. Also, www.hemphleygreen.com. And just fill out the contact information page.
Well, very good. Thank you for joining us. Your insight and your information has been very hempful today. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you having us on the show. And all let's right. get together so eventually we can have some hempfully beer.
Yes. Sounds good to me. Well, please stick around as we turn our attention to our next guest. And we are looking forward to talking about Halcyon Organics. And we have the CEO of that company, Mr. Daniel Macris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you doing?
Very good. And we don't want to ignore Joe here. I'm sorry I missed you on the first go-around. So
no, we're good.
Yeah, and you're the guy who put all this together, I should say.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been working with Daniel Macris for half of my life on this project. I'm the CMO as well of Halcyon Organics. So, again, like the lady said, trying to bring a coalition, a group together, try to get the conversation started like that you've provided for us today, this platform. So we want to get this out to the public's attention and make sure that we're all educated.
No doubt about it. And so let's talk a little more about Daniel and his background. He founded Halcyon Organics in 2012. He was intrigued by the alleged medical value of cannabis and began researching this over 13 years ago. Mr. Macris guides Halcyon Organics' vision, product development, and strategy. His cannabis experience includes cultivation, processing, distribution, extraction, infusion, marketing, branding, and advocacy. Prior to Halcyon Organics, he was president of Green Wave Solutions, which was the first eco-friendly painting contractor here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And that business is still around. And he also has dabbled in chemical engineering for a few years at Georgia Tech and received his Bachelor's of Business Administration and Marketing from the University of Georgia. So are you a local guy, born and raised here, or
yes,
what's
sir.
Your backstory?
I was born in Northside Hospital in 78, and I've lived here most of my life. I mean, I moved out for jobs after college and live out. I spent a lot of time out west, obviously.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm a real Georgia kid.
Yeah, me too. Born and raised right here in Atlanta. Born at Northside Hospital a few years before you. I've seen Atlanta grow through the years and how Atlanta is now an international city. You know, we have people have moved here from all over the world and have spent time in other parts of our country to come back here and bring that kind of culture and community to the Atlanta area.
We're cool worldwide. They know the A. They know Hotlanta.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Atlanta's
we're
where it's
deal.
At. Yeah. I'm pro Atlanta, pro Georgia. I've moved away many times. I served in the Army for a number of years, and I told Atlanta is a place you've always got to go visit.
Yep.
And people came just on my recommendation and then called me later to thank me for
and then they never leave.
That's true. That's true. Atlanta continues to grow. And so you began your research into medical marijuana several years ago, and it's evolved into Halcyon Organics in 2012. So what was that like, kind of being an entrepreneur? Or you had previous experience with the paint company.
Yes.
Right. And then, so let's talk about that for a moment. Entrepreneurship, what's it like to start a business?
Oh, man. it's a lot of work. If you go into it because you think it's going to be easier than working for somebody, you're going to fail quick.
Right.
You know, it's just like I was always a square peg in a round hole. Like, the only place I ever fit into corporate America was in sales and marketing roles because that's where I was allowed to do what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I started the contracting company. I'd worked for Sherwin-Williams. I was like one of their top reps for several years. And I was looking at the guys on the other side of the counter were making more money than me. Mm-hmm. And half of them couldn't read. So I was like, well, you know, so I started doing that.
And you were obviously successful and the paint company is still in business.
Yeah.
And then you decided to follow another passion, which, you know.
Well, that's been the real passion. But, you know, for so long, it's still illegal. But for so long, it was looked down. It was so stigmatized. People were like, you smoke pot? You went to college. You're supposed to do cocaine now. And so I've always been around the plant since I was like 17, 18 years old at some capacity. And I would have people like I've been selling it for 15, 20 years at some role, and I'd have people come in and be like, you know, this really helps my Crohn's, or like my girlfriend's epileptic and she doesn't have seizures when she smokes. And my attitude was like, whatever helps you sleep at night, you know, like I enjoy it. But as I started seeing real stuff happening and I kept hearing stories, I was like, you know, maybe this just isn't that whole wink, wink. The potheads are trying to justify their existence. And, yes. You know, and right. So I started doing real research and I found in this country, there's nothing. But you can go back into the 70s in like Israel and in Spain and in other countries. And these are peer reviewed, like real studies in developed nations. And, you know, so I kept seeing real stuff, and the U.S. government's probably spent $10 billion since the 70s trying to prove that this plant is addictive and poison and toxic. And all that they come back with are patents for the individual, the components. And you're like, oh, it's a neuroprotectant. So if there was anything truly harmful about this plant, we would have figured it out. I mean, now they're to the point of just making stuff up. So between all that body of evidence, I'm a numbers guy. I'm a tech kid. I started at Georgia Tech, so I know numbers. And I've been reading the statistics of, like, the demographic changes in people's, you know, perception of the plant. So I was like, it's time to come out and do this. So I started going out west because they're, like, 10 years ahead of us in most ways. So it's like going into a time machine and seeing the future. Yeah. So, you know, here we
are. Right. So here we are in Georgia. Just last year, we passed some rules with medical marijuana, but it seems really restricted still. Like, we can only treat so many different, diseases and ailments, and we've got all these, you know, you can only possess so much. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And we still have a lot of room to improve on that, sure. But do you think that's the first step in the right direction?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you'll have a lot of people, a lot of the hardcore advocates might be criticizing our government, but we have to remember that we just got to buy beer on Sunday, like 3 years
good
ago. And so you got to be realistic. But no, this is an awesome, this is an incremental thing. The general population, we're trying to undo 50 years of lies, just outright lies, that people have to unlearn. And so I want people to see the plant. I want them to see that it's not going to jump out and make their kid do heroin and stick a needle in them or something. So slowly showing people and educating, like what we're all here for.
Right. And so where do you go to kind of stay up to date on the laws? I mean, it's
in Georgia?
Yeah. Like, I mean, do you have a lawyer who you would advise you?
We have a lobbyist, and there's a coalition that's forming right now that's got some pretty influential.
Right. Because you're kind of treading on some thin water where could be doing some good work, but you could be getting in trouble for it.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, this is like how California was in the mid-90s when it first started. You know, it was still technically illegal to do everything. So even in California now when we operate, it's still technically illegal. But if somebody has their state-issued card or doctor recommendation and their state-issued ID and everything checks out, I'm going to serve a patient. I mean, it would make me a bad person if they've gone through all the hoops with their doctor to get this card. I'm like, well, guys, technically I'm not allowed to touch it here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we figure out creative ways to stay like as legal as possible and still
Yeah, and help still stay patient. In business.
And
right.
still help the patients.
And I remember when all this was on the forefront of the 6 o'clock news all last year, there was the one little girl that they all kept talking about who had to move to Colorado so she can get the treatment for her seizures. And she became the face of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And
the bill's named after her.
That's right.
Hayes Hoax.
And I don't think that would have happened if it wasn't for such a cute little girl who was in such a need of treatment. You know, people, if it was helping, you know, a little lady down the street, you know, might not have felt
they're
the
not
same.
As cute. I think it's a great point that the children have been pushed to the forefront of this fight. And the reality is there's a huge demographic of baby boomers, our parents who have, you know, who are maybe getting Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. We have athletes, professional athletes with CTE brain damage that could be benefiting from this. What about the rest of the population? What about the millions and millions of people that live daily with Crohn's or diabetes?
Cancer. Like cancer. How about cancer? Yeah. That's a big one.
So there are applicable places for this to fit, and we're ignoring it because and these are great stories. The children do need help, and this is something that is moving the process forward, and it's beneficial. But there are so many other people that can benefit from this. Yes. You talked about the ailments are limited here.
No,
it does need to open up.
Yeah, absolutely, and one that you probably know as well as I do, but you know, being an Army veteran myself, I know PTSD. Plenty of guys are helping with PTSD.
We have plenty of friends just like you, your friends that have been through that, and we're seeing the results in a positive way. And that's where we need to be getting. We need to be having more education around that, more of these conversations to bring that to light.
Right, and you know, when I go down to the VA for treatment, and I tell them my back hurts, and I'd like to get chiropractic treatment, they won't even cover that because that's still considered, you know, kind of a mythology. And
chiropractic still looked at that. I bet they'll give you some Klonopins and Xanax.
They
won't
certainly
some
will.
Oxycodone.
Yeah.
No, they'll make sure you're hooked on some pills for a while.
Refill me every week.
Right.
But if you test positive for THC, they cut off those. They won't let you have those anymore.
I know. Right? And I see it. I got plenty of friends who've been through some tough times and are in states or places that they cannot have access and they have to medicate themselves.
Yep. Yes.
And but they're running the risk of getting in trouble because of this. And all they're trying to do is help themselves sleep at night, like you said.
Yeah. More veterans, I think, commit suicide every year than get killed in active combat in, like, what, the last 10?
22 every day.
22 every day.
Is the average.
So times 365 and a quarter.
Right,
that's a big number.
That is so true. So we're trying to bring awareness for that. And I'm an advocate for veterans' rights all the way around. And if there's a way that we can help them and help the movement of medical marijuana as well, I think that's a great road to continue to go down. So, but let's talk about your day-to-day activities over there at Halcyon. What are you actively doing on a daily basis to you know, change the world?
Oh man, we're working on CBD and CBG food products.
So researching?
No, we're developing.
Developing.
Because in Georgia, if you source any non-THC, all the THCs, the tetrahydrocannabinols, are empirically illegal. There's no wiggle room. But as Terry said about hemp, if you source the other cannabinoids, the other big phytos out of it from a legally cultivated hemp plant, then they are technically legal. So we have legal sourcing for cannabidiol and cannabigerol, and we are putting those into e-liquids for vaping as well as oral tinctures. And we're working on some creams, some topicals for like arthritis and pain, things like that.
So just continuing to research it more and evolve what it can actually serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing that, but you're also out there promoting the cause as well.
Oh yeah, we have to be advocates at this point. And it's not, and again, we're like, I like to think of us as a new breed of advocate. You're not going to see me outside holding a cardboard sign with a marker like I'm in. We're doing it the right way. Like, you know, we're using lobbyists and attorneys, and we're partnering with, we're working with the legislators to help educate them. And we'd like to think that we're kind of, you know, cannabis 2.0. We're not the Cheech and Chong guys.
Right. And I think you're right. You got to educate the legislators, but you also got to educate the general public.
Absolutely.
You know, educate them so everybody becomes fully aware of what the benefits are, both, you know, holistically, but also economically.
Yeah.
You know, we're a couple sales and marketing guys, and that's our approach. And we've worked in the corporate world, and we know that there has to be a different approach and different message to how we do this now. And it's partnering with great ladies like this, you know, focusing on different aspects of the community that we can talk to. And we got to hit the right chords. You know, like Daniel said, we can't go back to the same song and dance that's been being pushed, you know.
But the economic potential of this, let's just stay out of, like, I won't use the word recreational marijuana because anytime you we only do medical and therapeutics. So anytime you recreationally use a drug, that's called drug abuse. Just kind of, I'm kind of a technical nut. So let's just stay out of what taxing and selling it to everybody over 21 to be, because that's not what we're here for. That's not what I'm here for. Hemp. She said $640 million was imported from China. That doesn't go into how much is made after it's processed here and put into stuff. And then the medicinal, even taxing it like respectably as a medicinal product. I mean, look at what Colorado, I think they gave $6 million to schools already this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Colorado is not just the school projects they're giving back. It's not like they're rebuilding a fence or they're putting new chairs in the gym. They're rebuilding the entire gym or they're rebuilding full schools. The projects have gone in size from a small piece of gum to a big pack of gum. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing the biggest projects that they can think imaginable. They're executing
and
this now.
Our tax bases are shrinking. Like, there's not many people using tobacco as much as they used to. So those tax revenues are getting really hurt right now. The baby boomers are going to be they're the largest segment of the population. They're going to live very, very long. We got to figure out how to pay for Social Security. We got to figure out how to pay for Medicare because it's going to dry up. I mean, we hear it every day. Yes. So we got to find new ways to make money. And again, this just isn't about people rolling joints. I mean, she said that you can build a house. There's pictures of Henry Ford who had built a Model T chassis out of hemp in like the 20s, and he was hitting it with an axe and it wasn't hurting it. But you know, you had Morgan and Rockefeller and then with U.S. Steel and right. Standard Oil and Georgia Pacific with timber. I mean, I love Georgia.
Right.
But
right. But you have one group who's trying to take the country in one direction. You have another group in the other direction. And it always comes down to who's got the most funding.
It's business.
And who they're in bed with mostly.
Yeah,
and
I'm not going to want people taking my money. You know, I mean, it's business, man.
No, I hear you. And competition does drive business. And we need to continue to educate the general public. So we're talking with Daniel Makris. He's CEO of Halcyon Organics here today on Georgia Business Radio. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Georgia Biz Radio. But you can also follow Halcyon Organics on Twitter at Halcyon Organics to stay current and up to date on what they're doing out there. So are you doing things similar to what Crystal is with networking events, educational programming, trying to what else do you do to kind of get the word out?
We have a pretty strong social media presence and an overall media presence. So we do a lot of these kinds of things. We speak and go. I've spoke with at Crystal's events, and they're really fun. I recommend anybody going, not just women. But
you know, you got Georgia Care. You have Peachtree Normal as well.
Sharon,
we're doing a lot of networking with them.
What we're really doing right now that's a big deal is we're putting together a kind of – we have to be careful about the semantics that we use, but like a training or consulting seminar for physicians – who they want to treat. They get in their patients like, hey, I got this problem. How do I get my card? They're like, well, I'm not comfortable recommending this because their curriculum never described cannabinoid medicine. So between our scientist who has a PhD in immunology and 30 years of cancer research and one of our other doctors who's a Harvard MD that believes in this wholeheartedly, we're putting together a training seminar for physicians who want to learn more about the endocannabinoid pathways, how the different cannabinoids help the different conditions, how to properly recommend a dose. That's really the biggest thing that we're trying to do is doctors need to know because they're scared.
Right. And on that point, that's the biggest thing we're finding in Georgia right now. Patients contacting us is their doctor's not willing to go through the process or they don't know what to do.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about the process. How would I say I have a legitimate need for it? My doctor says I need it. Mm-hmm. How then do I go ahead and apply for it?
So the state of Georgia has very quickly put up a website for doctors to register themselves. And then what they do once they're registered and approved by the state and you're legit, we know who you are, you're in our system, the doctor then has to register their patient. And so there is a process. There's some outlines that the state requires. The patient and doctor have to meet four times throughout the year. They have to be very in sync with the regimen and what's being applied and keeping a good track of the process with each patient. But that's it. There's a website. You go online. The doctor registers, the patient registers, and then they get their card. Now, that's where the hurdle is for the state, right?
Yes.
They have to now go out of state.
Well, that's a hurdle for the patient.
That's a hurdle for the patient. The doctor's done their deed if they're comfortable and they've gotten through that process. But that's been one of the big hurdles is doctors not feeling comfortable to make the recommendation because they don't know about cannabinoid therapy like Daniel mentioned.
Now, and it sounds like an easy process, but my first kind of thought on this is like, I don't want to have to register with the state. Mm. I don't want them knowing about me and what I need and have them having a hand in my treatment. So unfortunately, you know, the HIPAA laws, I mean, do they apply to this?
You know, this is part of the regulations of this industry and what other states we're following other states, right? We're not completely recreating the wheel. It feels like it sometimes, but we're not, and we're referencing other states. And this is part of it. It's interesting.
Yeah, so it's the first step.
I wanted to piggyback on that, just as it relates to insurance, comes along with that as well.
Yeah.
I'm also engaging with a lot of our state representatives to find out specifically how insurance really is to play a role, just in terms of the criteria, the structure. Typically on the non-cannabis side, obviously you do have the HIPAA criteria and the HIPAA laws. And as it relates to the cannabis side, we're actually in the process of completing compliance. And as it relates to the physicians, I understand from a physician standpoint, if they are making recommendations, they do want to make sure that, for example, their malpractice insurance isn't threatened.
Right. Well, it's not a prescription. I think that's the difference. It's not a prescription.
Or a recommendation, you know,
It is a recommendation, so it's not quite a prescription as it would be a normal, you know, in their normal world.
Well, didn't HB1 address that, didn't they? That was specifically the doctors got it in to, like, so they wouldn't be held liable if something went awry with that, with the cannabis.
Correct. Yeah. And we're still evolving on that as well, just so that there aren't any fears on the patient side nor on the professional side.
Right. And again, the lawmakers want a hand in this. The state legislators, they all want to have their thoughts impressed on us. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of them may be out of touch with what really it can do for folks.
I think yes and no. I think one of the things that the West Coast and specifically Colorado in particular, I think, provides, and I think that's a leg up for us here in Georgia, is that they're already doing things. And I think from our perspective, we can kind of look to a model and say, okay, what's working, what's not working, and if we are going to implement certain things in our states, how can we improve, how can we make it better, how can we not make the same mistakes that we've seen on the West Coast? So I think it's half and half.
That's good to know, and it's certainly, we got to continue this mission. And so over the next year, will they revisit this again at the State House with
and
what can we do between now and then to make sure we further this cause?
Well, I think as it relates to some of the regulation expanding here in Georgia for 2016, I know that specifically the Georgia Commission on Cannabis, I know that one of their tasks, if you will, is to present the Georgia Assembly, as well as our governor, with a punch list, if you will, so that with that punch list, we can hopefully see some types of things on the state ballot as it relates to 2016. So as residents in the state of Georgia, we can kind of start to see what they're proposing and what we see will be beneficial for the state here in Georgia.
Let me jump in and add something to that. That's we need people. You need to email and call your local state house rep and your local state senator and the governor's office, because these guys and girls wanna, they work for us. They want to do what the people want to do, but they're scared. They're, you know, like, they get, if they do something wrong, they look soft on crime, they get voted out. So we need to let them know that we support medical cannabis.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Say, I support this, and I will vote against you if you don't think that sick people should have access to medicine and freedom and health care.
You know, Crystal mentioned the Georgia Cannabis Commission that's meeting. I think their next meeting is
August 26th, next Wednesday.
August 26th. So, you know, go down there, be part of it, listen to what's happening, be part of the conversation.
Well, you can't be part of the conversation.
But you can listen and then reply back to your
public,
your officials, and let them know.
Email them and call them and drive them crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
That's their job.
Right. And especially if you're a young millennial who's just coming up and wanting to get involved in the political process, this may be an issue that you can, you know, piggyback on.
Or if you're a millennial and you want a job that's going to be $1 trillion, this is going to mint $1 trillion over the next 10 years. This is the .com of this generation.
I agree.
You're asking millennials to get out there. It's funny. We're at the top of the millennial group. We're 35, 36 years old. You know, we waited for so long to come out in our lives and say, we do believe in this. We want to be part of this industry. We just, you know, when you come out in the last, you guys are in your 20s, do it now. If you're that young,
don't be embarrassed. If somebody says this wrong, tell them
who cares how old you are. Jump in it now, because if you're in the next 5 years,
create your future. You want to create what you want to see.
Right. Now, all, you know, personally and economically, like we mentioned many times, that this is the next wave of social change.
And we need every job that any other industry has. So if you do something, you're like, well, they don't need that in cannabis. Yeah, we do. And if it doesn't exist, invent
it.
Yeah, make it. Market yourself.
Think about the aluminum can industry. The koozie didn't come out the first year it was made, right? So there's so many things. There's so many developments and things in this industry that are going to be just
It's
constant.
Not even invented yet that'll be here. Even, like, you know. It's really cool.
So what we're really talking about actually is changing the infrastructure here in America.
Yeah.
And we're at the right time, right place, with the right kind of products.
Right.
And we're actually just recycling what has already been here.
Yeah, this is not new. This is not something different. It's
no,
just,
it's not.
Yeah, it's we had to undo a lot of what's been done, like you mentioned, over the last 50 years.
Yes.
So we can my mom bought me the Reefer Madness DVD in high school.
Right.
And I literally turned to her and I said, is this for real? Is this real?
The guy smoking real fast in the closet. I remember
that scene. And they're going crazy and driving down the road. I'm like, this cannot be real. She's like, this is absolutely what was pushed on America back in the day. And it's like, wow, this is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing and the propaganda that we believe in.
It truly is. And now people are starting to wake up, not only here in Georgia, but around the country, and starting to adopt this as the next wave of economic growth and social change. And I do believe that we are on the right path here in Georgia. We just got to keep going, keep the momentum, and continue the good work. So
I do want to give you one more. Our friend Josh Luttrell, he's a veteran like yourself. He has started a local organization, VFCannabis.org.
Okay.
So he is fighting for the veterans, making sure that y'all's agenda is also being brought to the conversation. So one of our guys from North Georgia, he's a local boy, fought for us as well, and now he's fighting for his veteran friends that are
That's great. And hopefully we can continue this conversation, have you back in the studio again. Bring in Josh or bring in some other people who may have benefited from your services already.
Yes, and I would like to add there is another veteran, Jane Green, janegreen.com. She's doing the same thing as well. She served two tours in Iraq, so she's very... she's very involved in the space as well.
Great. There's so many more people out there that are doing good stuff, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. And we do thank you all for joining us. Before we get out, I'd like to, Daniel, remind our listeners how they can find out more about your company and your organization.
The easiest way is to go to halcyonorganics.com. That's H-A-L-C-Y-O-N, organics, how it's spelled, .com. We have a pretty good presence on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Those are our main things, and it's all at halcyonorganics.com. Or you can email us at info@halcyonorganics.com.
And I see, you're on all social media platforms, to include LinkedIn and YouTube. So if you want more information about Daniel and Halcyon Organics, please do reach out to him. Talk to him directly if you have questions or if you want to get involved in the movement itself. Certainly do. And please do come back and visit us. Again, we can always talk about cannabis in more detail, and we can continue to go on. But unfortunately, we are out of time today. So thank you all so much for joining us. Remind our listeners, if you're doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, or your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. So thank you to Rich Casanova and the entire Business Radio X Network. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.